weak layers, strength versus strain. The simple way to break down our concern with regards to layers in the snowpack is strength versus strain. Is the strength of the bond between layers able to withstand the strain being placed on it? Shear stress is the force acting parallel to the weak layer. Put a block of wood on your table. Now tilt the table until the block slides off. When the block starts to move, the shear stress has become greater than the strength of the bond holding it to the table. Think of the force a plow carve puts on the snowpack. Another way to visualize this is a little closer to the avalanche world. Take the same block of wood and place it on a sloped surface. That represents the initial snowfall. The block, or snowpack, will probably sit there happily forever. Now give it a flick. That represents you sledding. One of two things happened. Either the block stayed there because the bond was stronger than the stress applied, sledder had a happy day, or the block slid off the slope because the stress was more than the strength of the bond, sledder had a bad day. Persistent weak layers. A persistent weak layer is a weak layer that can hang out in our snowpack for an extended period of time. We can see them last from a week to an entire season. When we hear the word persistent weak layer, we want to think red flag. Their reactivity can be hard to predict and consequences can be high. Tread lightly with any type of persistent weak layer and stick to mellow, low consequence terrain. Below are the persistent weak layers we have to deal with: surface hoar, facets, depth hoar, and crust. Let's start with surface hoar. Surface hoar consists of feathery shaped frost crystals that grow upward from the snow surface when the air just above is cooled to the dew point. Click on the photo below for an example. Have you ever looked at the snow as it was glittering and shimmering and thought, dang, that's beautiful? Chances are you were looking at surface hoar. Surface hoar is a deadly weak layer that can last in our snowpack from days to months depending on size and distribution. Ingredients for surface hoar formation. We need a cool, clear night, high relative humidity, slight breeze is helpful, and sky view. Typically, sparsely treed areas is where we see the largest surface hoar growth. Surface hoar can get blown over in the alpine or melted on south-facing slopes later in the season. We tend to find well-preserved surface hoar at tree line and on north-facing aspects, but it can form anywhere with the right conditions. Sometimes we end up with this funny problem where the tree line is more dangerous than the alpine, but it's challenging to safely move through the trees to get to the alpine. Surface hoar is not a problem on the surface, but once it gets buried, we can expect to see a long-lasting problem. Size, distribution, temperature, and load will be the deciding factors in how long it will remain a problem in our snowpack. Due to surface hoar's irregular shape, they do not have much surface area to form strong bonds to one another. They tend to be impressively strong in compression, so they can support a large load on top of them, but are weak in shear. Shear stress is a downward force acting parallel to the weak layers. Think of the force a plow carve puts on the snowpack. This can leave us with a deeply buried surface hoar layer that's not failing under the load on top of it, but likely to fail when a shear force is exerted onto it. We can see the irregular shape in the image above and imagine how difficult it would be for this to bond to another snow crystal. Okay, time to talk facets. Faceted snow refers to snow grains within the snowpack that have transformed into larger angular grains. Facets are sugary snow that really don't bond well to one another. They can have sharp edges which lead to weak bonds. We tend to find facets in shallow snowpacks, think the Rockies, near the base of our snowpack, especially when we have that early season snow, referred to as basal facets, near crusts, and they tend to form when we have a long cold period. Think of those minus 20 spells that we all hate. When we pick up facets, they fall through our hands and bounce around. Check out the video below for an example of what facets look like. Depth hoar. Depth hoar is an advanced, generally larger and weaker form of faceted snow. It's usually found near the bottom of our snowpack. We can think of depth hoar as a facet that has been hanging out at the base of our snowpack for a while. Once we develop depth hoar in our snowpack, we can usually expect it to be there for the rest of the season. They're a larger and weaker form of faceted snow. Crusts. Crusts form the perfect sliding surface for avalanches. We often see facets form around a crust, forming a deadly combination of a weak layer sitting on or under a crust. Unlike other weak layers that tend to get taken out by the avalanche, we can see crusts reload several times throughout the season. Depending how thick our crust is, it can sometimes last the entire season or start to break down after a couple of weeks. Are different types of crusts. So we can have a temperature crust or melt-freeze crust. This forms when the temperature rises, melting the snow surface followed by cooling. Sun crusts. These form when the snow surface is melted by solar radiation followed by cooling air temps and the sun going down. Rain crust forms when we have a rain event followed by dropping temperatures. And wind crust forms when the wind is strong enough to compact the snow into a crust. We can see an example of a rain crust and sun crust below. Crusts can be a bit scary because, like our other persistent weak layers, when we see an avalanche, it will usually take out our surface hoar or facets, and then we don't have to really deal with that problem anymore. With our crusts, we can see them avalanche and reload and avalanche again and again and again, since the avalanche doesn't actually remove the crust from the snowpack. Persistent weak layers are scary and complex problems to have in our snowpack. We need to give them the respect and time they need to heal and gain strength. Sometimes this means a couple of weeks, and other times it means an entire season. Our persistent weak layers change to deep persistent weak layers once they're a certain depth relative to the total snowpack. Deep persistent weak layers take us into the low probability, high consequence realm, which can be extremely challenging for decision making. Shallow snowpacks. Shallow snowpacks, such as the Rockies, tend to be more unstable than deep snowpacks, such as the coast. With our shallow snowpacks, weak layers tend to persist for long periods of time. In our deeper snowpacks, our weak layers tend to get crushed by the weight of the snow on top of it. Our coastal snowpacks are also in a warmer climate, which results in snow crystals changing form at a faster rate. Shallow snowpacks do not have a solid base to support the load on top of it, and we usually see deep persistent problems that can last the entire season. The cold weather associated with snow in shallow snowpacks leads to a slower rate of change in the snow crystals, which leads to persistent weak layers.